Hi everyone, very pleased to be here. Flown over from Boston. In fact, we have two speakers from New England in our session today. Very much looking forward to hearing Anjali's session. So I'm based at Berklee College of Music, but I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm talking about my sort of second day job, my freelance work that I undertake as a consultant in music copyright disputes, advising law professionals and artists and music publishers and the like on the level of similarity of two different pieces of music to try and infer the extent of copying. So I'd like to start with a bit of audience participation. We're going to do some live forensic musicology. I'm going to play you two pieces of music, one from 2011 and one from 2015. You may know one or both of them. And I want you to simply listen to the very first thing you hear, one bar of music, and answer the questions that normally come up, answer in your own head the questions that normally come up in a music plagiarism dispute. Has copying taken place? What has been copied? Is this plagiarism? And is it copyright infringement? So here we go. This is Lanterns on the Lake, a song called Gracious Tide, Take Me Home. It's the very first thing you hear is a piano intro. This is Adele with Hello, a different musical key, but otherwise the same.
Hello.
You know how the rest goes, I'm sure. Okay. So let's try it. Let's see what people think, just on a gut reaction to begin with, and then we'll dive into the detail. So who thinks that Hello has copied from Lanterns on the Lake? Show of hands. Yeah, a few, maybe like 25%, 20%. Who thinks that Hello has not copied from Lanterns on the Lake? Is that everybody else? And who's not sure? Hooray for the not sure. So I suggest that this is an example, and I get examples like this all the time. Lots of people say, I think this big artist has stolen my song. And in this particular case, these are generic elements. These are chords of A minor, C, G, and F, with a pulse in 4-4 going da, 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 da. And just briefly, just pull up Spotify very quickly. There's Hello. Here's Nirvana playing the same chords. Blind Melon. Here's One Republic doing the same chords but double time.
Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be.
But they sound more dissimilar than the first two examples I played, and that's simply because the first two examples I played were played on the same instrument. And obviously you can't copyright the idea of playing something on a piano. So one of the roles of the forensic musicologist is to try and get to the core composition and to put that apart from anything that is in the sound recording. The two copyrights in music. We're going to come back to this theme again and again. The idea that there are two copyrights in music. The musical work, or the song, and the sound recording. They're administrated separately, they're paid separately, and in law they are protected separately. So here's another quick one. I'm going to do this in software. The music readers among us will notice that these are essentially the same piece of music, four chords. And I'm going to play them. They are three pieces of music 2 years apart. The first one is The Redeemer. I'm going to play this to you in Ableton Live in software. Oops. Okay. This is the 2014 track. Play that again for you. Here's a 2016 track. And here's is a hit from 2018. This happens to be Ed Sheeran on guitar. Now that third one sounds different from the others, but simply because it's in a different musical key and it's played at a different tempo. Those things really don't matter to copyright, because obviously you can play the same musical work in different keys. So if I, what I would normally do in a case like this is use digital tools to put everything back to the same tempo and the same key, so we can play them back and hear them, hear the similarities and differences. So here's the 2014 track. The 2016 track. And the 2018 track. So the temptation here is to think, well, of course that's copied. So there's two hypotheses here for the forensic musicologist. One is that the people in 2018 and 2016 loved this 2014 riff so much that they copied it and put it into their song. Hypothesis two is that these ideas are so musically generic that anyone could have thought of them. Anyone who knows a little bit about music theory will know that those chords are fairly simple and those rhythms are fairly easy to understand. When I was looking at this case, I looked at the guitar positions used, and they are very much the positions on the fifth and second string that any guitar player would use. If anyone knows the Beatles song Blackbird, it uses all of that guitar technique, sliding up and down the fingerboard in parallel tenths. So in my opinion, and it is just an opinion, this is an example of what copyright law would call independent creation. Three things that sound absolutely identical and yet do not infringe copyright, because they are, if not demonstrably, at least likely independently created from each other. Because the other hypothesis, that these relatively obscure artists were then copied by Ed Sheeran in 2018, especially after all the copyright difficulties he's had in the law courts, that other hypothesis seems to me really implausible with the songwriter's creative process. And we'll come back to that idea. So, musical copying in life, in society, takes a few demonstrable forms, not all of them illegal by any means. We all hear production copying all the time. We hear a TV ad and we think that sounds a bit like my favorite metal band or my favorite reggae artist or whatever it is. And those are just commissioned pieces of music where an ad agency says we want it to sound in the style of a particular artist or genre. Usually they do not use the same melodic notes or any of the same actually harmonic or melodic material, but they copy production elements, the style of recording, the instrumentation, the arrangement and the like. Very, very common, and what we know really as genre in music. The use of commonplace elements, and the Adele example is one of those. Simple chords that everybody uses, very unlikely to be owned as a copyright by one person. Chord sequences. Trap music right now is all over the same chord sequences. Lots of repeated chords that are the same song to song. Now, sampling we know about, which is where you take audio recording from an existing song and then put it into your own song. Often you're making a cultural allusion to the prior work, and that's a very deliberate statement you're making in your music. But often you're transforming that work. You're taking the original, recontextualizing it in order to make a new work, rather than just copying blanket and trying to resell someone else's work. And then melodic copying, I like to categorize it in three parts. Deliberate melodic copying, which is really, really rare, because creatively, why would you? Why would you copy someone else's melody? It's so easy to change a melody in the creative process, so it's dissimilar. Coincidental copying, which we saw, which is the second example we looked at, and cryptomnesiacal. I love this word, cryptomnesia. It was coined at the end of the 19th century. Jung popularized it. It's a psychological term meaning mistaking a memory for a new idea. And it's really common among songwriters. In my research, when I interview songwriters, they say, I've got this great new melody, and their co-writer says, hang on, wasn't that written by whoever it was back in the day? So here, lyric copying, we'll not dwell on that. It's always deliberate. And you don't need to hire a forensic musicologist to figure out if somebody copied a lyric. You just Google it, you know. So lyric copying, when it occurs, is always deliberate, unless you're using a cliche like "till the end of time." So here's Ed Sheeran doing what I believe is Cryptomnesia. This made it to some legal accusations, but was eventually settled out of court. You're first of all going to hear Matt Cardle singing a song called Amazing, and you're looking at the centerpiece of sheet music.
How did you find me? You came out of nowhere like lightning. It's kind of amazing how you found me through all the noise somehow. I was pulling empty pails out of the wishing.
And here's Ed Sheeran doing the same thing in a different key.
So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home.
One music law website that analysed this said, I wouldn't want to be the musicologist that had to defend Sheeran on this one. And I think this is an example of cryptomnesia, which happens. Songwriters report it all the time. I'm sure he thought he'd written an original melody, but he just happened to have heard that hit in the back of his mind. Because otherwise, why would you do it intentionally? Okay. So, forensic musicology, what is the gig? Three services, really. Sample detection, which is a technical gig most of the time. Compositional similarity comparison. So sometimes you'll hire a forensic musicologist to say, did this work infringe this other work or copy from it? Sometimes you'll hire one preemptively to say, will this work be accused of plagiarism? So a lot of my clients are TV ad agencies and they've commissioned a piece of music to sound like a particular artist and they want me to check that it doesn't sound like a specific song from that particular artist. And prior works research, because if somebody asserts that someone else has copied their song, then you need to prove that the original song was original in the first place. And because there's been so many thousands, millions of melodies written in human history, often you do find something that was a prior example. And obviously the clients ask for an opinion of the likelihood of copying, and that's a bit of detective work, a bit of knowledge of how songwriters work, a bit of research and a mashup of all these techniques. So a little bit of quite deliberate copying where none of the notes are the same. I'm going to listen to a little bit of Gentle House from 1991. This is the Whistle Song. So clearly those pieces of music sound very, very similar. What's interesting about them musically is they use a really specific rhythm. Da, ba-da, 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 ba-da. And here they are compared as music notations. In fact, somebody knows it. I can hear someone whistling it over. I think it was a big Euro hit, maybe. So I don't know which one he was whistling, though. So Love Generation, which is the later track, is in the notation above. Dum, da-dum, dum-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum. Da-dum, dum, da-da-da-da-da, and the other one, dum, da-dum, etc. Question is, how many other pieces of music are there in the world that use this really specific rhythmic note chain, even though all the pitches are different? Clearly one is an allusion to the other, and that information is not encoded in the score, it's encoded in the fact that it's played on a human whistle. You know, name your top five favorite hits that are played on a human whistle. It's quite a short list, I suggest, for most people. So here they are. This is the 2005 song. And here's the earlier work. Clearly, one is a deliberate copy of the other. If I was up against another musicologist defending this, they would pedantically say, well, none of the notes are the same, because they're technically not, and yet you don't need to do a musical analysis to know that this is clearly a copy of the other. What this demonstrates in the practice of forensic musicology is that literal note-for-note comparisons are not the only tool in the box. Sometimes you have to use common sense and intuition also. And there are rhythmic and melodic elements that are copied there, as we could hear. So the issues. Song and sound recording are separate in law. They are separate in the economics of the music industry. And yet, as listeners, we hear them both simultaneously. US court cases, as we'll probably get into in the discussion, use jury trials, which most of the rest of the world doesn't. And juries are, by definition, randomly selected, so they're often non-musicians. Often they need a lot of guidance from the courts to be able to hear the song and the sound recording separately. And what about where we are now in music creation, where everything comes through a digital audio workstation? That is, pretty much all pop music is written on computers. Does that make producers songwriters? What should be their credits and how should we protect it? But pop music is a constrained art form, as we saw with our early music examples, that some of them were very similar to each other, but they were using simple chords that everybody uses. To me, hanging over this debate is a huge meta question, which is, what is a song? How do we define a song? And I'm going to leave that trailing off with a long echo. Thank you very much.